You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Rec Room's got a lot of musical talent. Thank you, Jolene. I want to introduce a man tonight that we kind of met in a unique way. One of the inmates in the Big Spring Federal Prison that came to my Bible class come when he got out, relocated to Midland. And he actually introduced me to this gentleman. And from that time, we've just been good friends. For years, he run on the lay pipe business over there in Midland, and he's sold that and out of that. And now he's dedicating some things full-time to speaking and so forth. But I want to introduce you very quickly and not take any more of his time. Mark Jones from Midland. Mark's going to come and talk to you. And let me tell you, while he's coming, This man walks the walk. I've seen him in a lot of different situations in his Christianity, and he walks the walk. Brother Mark.
Thanks, Leland. That's awfully kind, and I appreciate that very much, Leland. That's kind of I kind of feel toward Leland. He always says something good about me before I get up here, so I guess you guys won't leave. And I always kind of feel about that kind of like I used to my dog. You know, I used to tell people that I wish I was half the man that my dog thinks I am. And I wish I was half the man Leland says I am. So anyway, it is a great honor to be with y'all. And I might be in a little bit of trouble with Linda tonight. Linda, through via Leland, had asked if I would come and talk about a dog that I used to have. And so I felt like the Lord had impressed on me another talk for tonight. And we're going to talk about something else right quick. But that way, Linda, you'll invite me back. And so I get to win both ways. Anyway, folks, what I want to do tonight is I've been praying for you guys all day today. And this has been my prayer, is that the Holy Spirit of God will open your heart in your mind to the point where you'll be able to see what this man, Jesus Christ, did for you. And my prayer has been that you will be able to go back in time with me. What I want to do is go back in time to one night right before the cross. One night right before the Lord was crucified and he was betrayed. And go with me to this place. It's called the Garden of Gethsemane. Just like the cross, Gethsemane is a moment in time that is truly beyond yours and my comprehension of what has taken place at that point in time. A change takes place in the Lord Jesus Christ that is so abrupt and so violent that it's, again, beyond our comprehension to understand this shocking change that takes place in Him. When we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, now folks, stay with me. When you walk with Him in the three exciting years of His ministry leading up to this point in time, and you see how he interacted with people, and you see what he was all about. Words come to mind like authoritative and assured and fearless and truly divine. These are the words that describe the Son of God. He's unfailingly steady. He's always in full control. Not of some of life situations, but in all of life situations, under any situation, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's got it. He's in full control. He's never stumped. He's the man. He is the person that no matter what is going on in His life or in the lives of other people, no matter what's going wrong in the lives of other people, they quickly come to the understanding that if I can just get Jesus involved in my problem, everything is going to be okay. All the way from the point where my daughter is dying and needs healing, and you were too late, she's dead. And Jesus shows up and there's a resurrection. To the point where my brother Lazarus has been dead to the point, he's ripe. Don't go down there. I mean, he is really dead. And there's another resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ is in full control of all these situations. He's the one that's described in John chapter 1 and verse 2. Listen carefully, y'all, to this. As the Word that was not only with God in the beginning, but He was God. And all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He's the one in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, that said, I am the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the one who was and is to come. Now He was, that means He was what? He was everything when? In the beginning. He is right now. He's what right now? He's everything right now. And what is He going to be in the future? He's going to be everything in the future. He was, He is, and He is to come. He's the one that spoke the very word, and I love this. I'm from Artesia, New Mexico, and we just kind of had a rough upbringing over there, and I love this kind of tough part of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come to arrest Him. He's been betrayed, and they come to arrest Him. And they ask Him if He is who He is, and He simply speaks these words. He doesn't scream it. He doesn't shout it. He simply says, I am. And you've seen the pictures of the nuclear bomb that goes off and the aftermath of the power that goes out from that. That's exactly what happens. I am. And it blows these hundreds of people, just wipes them off their feet. That's the power of this person called Jesus. He's the one that's in a boat. And the disciples are afraid. The Scripture says they're afraid. Why are they afraid? There's a hurricane blowing. They're going to die. Have you ever been to the point you thought you were going to die? Some of us have. I used to get there every time I did some of my stunts when I was a kid. I thought Mama was going to kill me. They're literally afraid they're going to die. You can't get much more afraid than that, right? And they wake Him up and ask for His help. And He speaks to the storm like a little brat child. Shh. Be still. Be quiet. Whew. A calm comes over the entire sea. The Scripture says that the sea became as glass as what it's actually talking about when it says it became still immediately. You know what the Scripture says then, folks? The Scripture then says that these disciples who were afraid that they were going to die were terrified and said, who is this that speaks to the storm and it obeys Him? This person of Jesus, folks, we can't comprehend the power that He had. There again in John, He's God. He created everything. He's the one who explained to the woman at the well, you drink of this water again, you're going to be thirsty tomorrow. You drink of the water I give you and it'll be a fountain welling up within you that will continue to give and give and give. Your life will be changed. You'll be different. Not from what you've done, but from My water that I give you. I will change you. I will create a new heart in you. I will give you a purpose that you're longing for in your life. What you've been looking for all of your life, I will give that to you and you will never lose it. Because you didn't earn it. I gave it to you. He's the person that said in John 15:5 that I'm the vine and you're the branch and without Me you can do what? Nothing. There's nothing that you can do. I believe that with all of my heart. Some people will argue with you on that, but they're breathing His air while they argue it. But then we come to this place and this moment in time called Gethsemane. And I'm going to read Mark 14 right quick, verses 32 and 34. It says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and He said to the disciples, sit here while I pray. And He took Peter, James, and John with Him, and He began to be troubled and deeply distressed. This person that I just described becomes troubled and deeply distressed. Listen. Then He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Even to death. Stay here and watch. Our Savior, who in prior years and days was so assertive and confident and in such full control, He is now distressed to the very core, to the very bottom of His soul, to the point where He says, I feel like I'm just going to die. This is a consuming agony and a crushing agony. In previous years, we saw Him heal incurable diseases and do all of these miracles and walk on water. And
we don't have time. All the books in the world, the Scripture says, can't ever begin to tell the power and the majesty and the holiness and the greatness of this man named Jesus. I love the part where he goes into the temple and he has a human cattle drive and runs these folks right out of the temple with a whip. Again, I'm from Artesia. We like stuff like that over there. He's constantly bold and brave and in control. And now he's to this place and he tells Peter and James and John that my soul is sorrowful even to death. And folks, this is no exaggeration. It's no hype. The sorrow that he feels, the Scripture says that had he not been strengthened, he'd have died in Gethsemane. He's more vulnerable and human we've ever seen, and it's shocking. And we might wonder, what is going on? Why? Why? What is really going on here in this person that was in such control? Here's what it is. When he's in the garden, folks, he begins to understand. He gets a full reality of what's fixing to happen tomorrow on that cross. And it's not the physical part of it. It's the horror of the separation and the wrath of His Holy Father that's fixing to pour out His entire vengeance upon Him. And there's an abandonment that is coming, a separation that is coming between Him and His Father that He's never known throughout all eternity. He's never known this, and it's fixing to happen. And you ask, why? It's because of your sin and my sin that's being put on Him. And it's His Father is going to abandon Him. I know what it's like to have been abandoned. When I was in grade school, my mom dropped me off at a military school down in Bryan, Texas. And I'll never forget the day I saw her drive off out that gate. You talk about feeling abandoned. I was 12 years old. I thought I wanted to march around with an M1 Grand rifle and be stout and tough. I thought I was going to die. That doesn't hold a comparison to this right here. For us to understand it, I think it takes supernatural power. He prays, Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Please remove this cup from me. But yet not my will, but Yours be done. He asks the Father again later if He would remove the cup. And this cup, again, folks, is the wrath of God for your and my sin. It's the full intensity and fierceness of God's holy, holy wrath. Isaiah 51 describes this cup as being filled with fire and sulfur and a scorching wind. Folks, it's like the greatest volcano in the entire world that's all condensed down into one cup. The sins of the world that's in this one cup. Jeremiah 25:16 says that tasting from this cup causes the drinker to stagger and to be crazed. Jesus cries out, Father, is there any other way? Can You please remove this cup from me? No answer from heaven. He asks a second time, all things are possible with You, Father. Please let this cup pass by me. Again, no answer from heaven. Certainly, folks, if there had been any alternative in the universe, His Father would have heard the plea of His Son begging Him to not let this happen. And it would have been answered if anything else could have happened and He didn't have to take this cup. It's like He was saying, Father, You're the Creator of everything. You can do anything. Please get on Your computer and scan the entire universe and see if there's anything that could be done anywhere and come to my rescue. Oh, Father, please don't make me have to drink this cup. I didn't do it. I didn't deserve it. Please look around. But thank God, folks. He said, but not my will, but Your will be done. And our faithful Savior drank the cup. People may have asked you, you may have asked this question. I think everybody in here has either asked this question or we have had somebody ask us this question. Do you really think that the only way to heaven is through Jesus? Isn't that narrow of you? Isn't that small-minded of you? and always respond to them. I don't think he necessarily is the only way. If you can tell me there's another person that came in the form of God that was 100% sinless and died for my sin naked and was nailed to a cross and died for me, I may consider that. Show him to me. The only God other than Jesus that they can show me is the one that came to be served. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to die and to serve others. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If you ever believe that there's any other way, forget that thought, because there's not. Not only did the Lord drink the cup of that was intended for us, but He turns around and He gives us another cup. That's what blows me away. It's mind-boggling to me. I can understand the fact that He loved us so much that He gave Himself for us. But He turns around, He takes my cup with all my wickedness and my pride and my selfishness and my wrongness and my brokenness, and He drinks it every ounce. And He says, "Here, Mark, here's your cup. Guess what's in it? It's His grace. It's His mercy. It's His goodness. It's His redemption. It's His sanctification. It's His love. It's His joy. It's this abundant life that I had no deserving of whatsoever. And He gave that to me." I recently heard a guy say one time, the two greatest days of my life was the day I was born. And the second was the day I realized why. Folks, when in 1974, I realized the reason why I was born. And that was to be born again. To accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. He changed, as the teenagers would say, He rocked my world. He changed my life. And guys, I want to tell you, I know there's some folks here that don't know Him. I've been praying for you. Not by name, but I've been praying the Holy Spirit will just let you have a glimpse. 1932, there was a World Series game that was being played, and it was the final game, and the game was tied, and this one team was one run behind. They had to get a run to keep it open. It was the bottom of the last inning. Full count. There were two outs, three balls, two strikes. Pitch comes in, the guy swings for the fence, and he connects with the ball. But it didn't go over the fence. It's one of those worm burners, and it goes right around third base. Barely made it, and it curves, and it goes all the way back to the deep crevices of the outfield. This guy takes off running like a turpentine jackrabbit. Man, the whole team, the whole world is listening in on this thing. Everything's dependent on if he can make it or not. He crosses first, hits second, goes to third. The third base coach flags him home. He's running for home with every ounce he's got in him. The pitch comes in from the outfield. The ball's coming. The runner's coming. He slides. Obvious to everybody watching. He's safe. He made it. That's fabulous. Everybody erupts. They're so excited. The umpire gets up and he walks around. And he looks after all the dust settles down. He looks and he says, "You're out!" Calls him out. He says, "Out! Kill that umpire! What do you mean he's out?" He said, "I called a runner out because he missed first base." Guys, I want to tell you, if you miss Jesus, you missed everything. You missed your purpose in your life. You've missed the purpose that He has for your life. If you're here tonight and you know Him, what happened at Gethsemane and what happened at Calvary, it should define who you are. It should define your thought. It should define your actions. It should define every aspect of your life for who you are if you know Him through what you've done. I just pray tonight that if you don't know Him, that you'll be able to understand what He did for you. He took your cup. Listen to me, guys. Let Him have it. Let Him have your cup. With all the sin, all the wrong, all the pride, all the problems, everything you've got, let Him have it. And He will in turn give you one that will change your life. Don't worry about changing your life. You can't. I can't change my life. I'm always trying to fix other people. I can't even fix myself. But Jesus Christ can fix a heart of stone. Brother Liam.
If you would bow your head, close your eyes. We have just a few minutes. I want the musicians to come. My, what a picture of what Christ has done for us. If you're here tonight and you say, Leland, I never realized that. I didn't know what Jesus did for me. I never knew that what He went through, that He went for me. That He suffered for me. I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? If that's what you're saying in your heart, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just slip up your hand? We're going to pray in just a moment. If you say, would you pray for me? I want to know this Jesus. I see your hand, sir. Anyone else? Real quickly. I see yours. Yes, someone else. Real quick. I see yours at the back. Yes. Anyone else? You're here. And your life is the pits. We don't want anybody to know that. So we put on a good front and a false face and think we're doing well. But deep down inside, in the very corners of our heart, life is miserable. Do you realize that Jesus Christ died so you could go to heaven and not only go to heaven but enjoy earth before you go? Jesus Christ died for you. He died for me. I didn't realize that for the longest, that He died for me. He paid my debt. He took my sins. He'll take yours. I want you to stand to your feet. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. I'm going to ask Brother Doug, Brother Charles Saint, just as I am. I want you to come on the very first verse and say, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I turn it over to Him. I give up and give it to Him. Would you come?
Just as
right now, come on.
I am without.
Yes, sir. Come right on.
But that
come right in, son. We'll have somebody talk to you. Come
was
right in.
Shed for me.
Right there.
And that
come on.
Thou bidst me come.
What would God have you to do? Come on.
Thee, O Lamb of God,
will you let Him have your sins tonight? And take His grace? What a swap.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
With our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed, I want to ask you a question, and we're through. But you'd say, Leland, I should have come. I'm not saved. I should have come. I won't bother you. I won't beg you. I won't point you out. But you just be honest with me and say, Leland, I should have come. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just slip your hand up and say, I should have come? Pray for me that I will. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. God bless you. I should have come tonight. Father, thank you for those that were honest. Father, I pray you'd give them another opportunity. I pray that they would have another chance. And that next time, when that chance comes, they'd come. Oh, Lord Jesus, do that. Now, Father, bless those that are here. Bless those that should have lifted their hand. Be with them. Thank you for those that are here. Watch over us this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The refreshment bar's open. Thank you for being here.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.